Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the wonderful day to spend with y'all and a nice place to stay and the food and the fellowship. And what a blessing it is as we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. It's just a joy to serve God with you, and as you're helping us, you're holding the ropes for us, you're helping us down the trail. Pray for next year's schedule. We've never had a year after a COVID year. So we're all going to experience something, whatever it is. We don't know, but we're just going to trust God together. Amen. But pray for us evangelists and the missionaries that are traveling, that they and us can all get supported or at least get scheduled. And that would be a great thing, because I know right now things have been starting slow for the next year in scheduling. But pray that God will keep us busy. And if this is God's business, we're in God's work, and He's been through 15 years, and we're starting a whole new year. Amen. 15th year started in September. So thank you for your support. Y'all have been right with us all these years, and I appreciate that. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And maybe I'll have you stand 7 or 8 times while I'm preaching. Would that be good to keep you awake? So if you're not awake, I'm going to have to do that. So y'all better stay awake, and you better give me an amen once in a while. All right, he wants to sit down, doesn't he? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Are you there? Say amen. You can say glory, amen, or preach it, preacher, or it is written, or hallelujah, amen. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, Paul is writing back to the church at Thessalonica, we could no longer forbear or hold back, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning, notice the phrase, your faith. Now, while we're reading the rest of this chapter, I want you to identify in your Bible those two words. Okay? Your faith. I'm going to be preaching on that here this afternoon. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came upon or came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. But what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy with we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, in other words, the purpose, He may establish your hearts unblameable and in holiness before God, even our Father, as at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. I'm going to preach, appointed to develop faith in tribulations. He said there in verse number 2, he said that in, he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Watch this. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Appointed to develop faith in tribulations. Growing faith in difficult times. Lord, help us, we pray, that our faith will increase, that our love will improve, that our heart will be right. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, You may be seated. Appointment. Have you ever gone and kept an appointment? Have you ever been somewhere and the appointment was a while? Like you went to the doctor and you know it's going to take a while. It's going to take at least an hour usually. Sometimes it's an hour and a half. Sometimes every now and then you get a 30-minute or a 45-minute wait if things are a little slower. But you have an appointment. And when you have an appointment, you like to be able to keep that appointment and you expect somebody else that you're appointed to be with to keep that appointment. God says there's an appointment. Now, we had sometimes you have to wait when you're doing something. The other day, I stood in line for almost 4.5 hours to vote because I had to get that day done because on the 3rd of November, I was going to be out of town, so I couldn't come back to vote, so I needed to vote early, and to do that, you have to stand in line, and sure enough, it was a long wait. So I had an appointment to take care of that, and sometimes appointments go long, but I was able to talk to people next to me and be able to fellowship a little bit, and some folks that knew the Lord, and it went by pretty fast considering. But we have an appointment. The Bible says, as is appointed a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. And so we have an appointment to keep with the Lord at the end of our life. But here we find the Christian life has appointments of affliction and tribulation. God designs these for our development of faith. He said, why do we have COVID-19 in 2020? It was an appointment. We were appointed to have that here. Matter of fact, there's a lot of places around the world were appointed to have it. You say, why was it? Well, we know that this because of sin, we have sickness. We know because of rebellion that we have chaos. But understand this, that there's going to be afflictions and difficulty and tribulations and trials in your life and my life, and God says, I call them appointments. There are times that you and I are appointed to them so that He can increase our faith and help us grow in the Lord. I've had people say to me when I pastor, Brother Osteen, pray that God will increase my faith. I said, okay, when we do, look out, here comes a trial and a tribulation. Because your faith then is going to go through testing. Faith is always tested to find out where we are with the Lord and what level we are in our growth. And so we see Paul sent Timothy with a message to the church at Thessalonica with words of comfort and encouragement during these trials. So he wants to let us know that we're comforted. I'm glad as I've preached the message on God of all comfort. We find in 1 and 2 Corinthians that God comforts us. And He helps us during tribulation and difficulty. And so He's doing the same thing here. He's talking to this church and to increase their faith as they're serving God. And so I want to encourage you today. How many of y'all believe it's that way to live for God is by faith, not by flesh, not by the opinion of somebody else, not by get up every morning and wonder what we're doing and whether we're even alive today. Just know, get up and obey the Word and the will of God today that is appointed to you. And so abounding and developing of our faith was needed in this church and, of course, in our life too. There's going to be attacks on the doctrine of eschatology, the study of last things. That's why God gave Paul the mystery of the gospel and mystery of the rapture of the saints and such to this church at Thessalonica and also to the church at Corinth. He revealed it to these churches because it had to put down the awful false doctrines. So you're going to raise up the true doctrines of the Word of God that God had established for the local churches. And so they were the church that much of the mystery of Christ's return would be revealed by Paul the Apostle. And they who have to make a strong spiritual stand on these truths. You see, it would take a great faith in the Lord to pass them on to the next generation of believers. So this chapter gives us today a blueprint of developing our faith during life tribulations. And remember, oftentimes, matter of fact, I don't know of any believer that has been worth their salt in their service to God that did not have an affliction, did not have a trial, did not have tribulation, did not have some kind of wound in their life that God used to help them grow in the Lord. Study that out. Go to your Bible and find out the great men of God, great women of God, great servants of God. Many of them had a real difficult time in life, and there might be a certain instant in their life there was a wound, a tribulation, an affliction. Why? To teach us to trust God. so that we will not trust in the arm of the flesh, so that we will not depend upon just our intellect, so we will not depend on just people, but we will learn to depend on God working through our body and in the affliction, through people, and helping us to grow in God's will. Remember this as we look at this area concerning the return of the Lord and the rapture of the saints. It was to live, it was given to us to understand these great truths of the coming of the Lord. Why? To live a righteous life of faith in revival before His return. It's to stir us to witnessing of the gospel through evangelism. Now, your pastor asked you about passing out tracts. I passed out some tracts today and left some in the room. Listen, the last destination of these tracts is not right here. Look at me. I'm going to go to the tract rack and just put them right here and walk around the church. Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, sister, how are you? You think I'm kind of getting your attention towards something? And is that kind of like a braggadocious, like you've got tracts, like you're super Christian? Well, super Christian doesn't leave them in their pocket. Super Christian passes them out. Amen. They're designed to go to somebody. And so listen, why do I pass out tracts? Because I'm coming across the path to people that this might be the only time they hear the gospel message. And I believe Jesus Christ is coming back. Do you? If you do believe that, you're going to get some tracts and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then third of all is to find comfort in Christ's soon return, because He is coming soon. First Thessalonians outline could be put this way. Chapter 1, the testimony of a changed people. It could be chapter 2, the travail of a charging preacher. Chapter 3 could be the thoughts of a caring partner. Chapter 4 could be the trump of a coming prince. And chapter 5, the times of a comforting promise. Look with me in verse 1 through 4 of chapter 3. First of all, see that we got to plant our faith in the Lord. How many of y'all believe our faith has to be planted in the Word of God? Amen. It can't be in our own opinion. It can't be in our, like I said earlier, our intellect. It can't be all the abilities we have. Faith has nothing to do with anybody's abilities, has nothing to do with anything concrete or abstract. It has everything to do with, thus saith the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Is that right? So we need to plant our faith in the Lord. Now, if you're going to go through a tribulation, it'd be good to have your faith planted in the Lord. Paul had been in prison, and he's writing back, and he's been afflicted, and they've been afflicted, and they've been persecuted in this church. What do they need? They need their faith planted in the Lord. Look there in verse number 1 through 4. We see this great chapter of encouragement that Paul was busy in the ministry at Athens, and he finally sent Timothy with this letter to the church. He trusted Timothy, and Timothy was a dear brother. He was a minister of God and a fellow laborer in the gospel. Isn't that great? And we have those. We ought to be a dear brother or sister in Christ. We ought to be a dear minister of God and the gospel. And we are fellow laborers together with others. And so this can go with all of us if we're going to help others even in their faith. Now these believers are saved by faith, of course. And Paul wants to help them. Why? Look at verse number 3, that no man should be moved. Now that word moved has the idea of the tail of a dog wagging. And you know what? That tail doesn't stop sometimes, it just keeps wagging. It kind of said, you know what, your life and my life can't be that way. We don't need to be back and forth over whether we believe God or whether we're going to be walk by faith or walk by sight or whether we're going to be double-minded and live by faith today and walk in complaining tomorrow. We don't need to be moved around. We need to be established and anchored in our faith. My faith is not in the weather. Hallelujah. My dear wife, a front comes through. She can get a day ahead of time. She starts hurting all over her joints with lupus. Why? So she has to learn that just because the weather's tough on her, that God is still on the throne and I can still feel good in the Lord. Amen. But how many of y'all know physical ailments can really get you down? Amen. And kind of discourage you. It may be a problem in your family. Maybe a difficult situation. Maybe an affliction, a persecution from an unbeliever towards you. Maybe your finances are tanking and you don't know what to do. Maybe there's different oppositions coming your way as you're serving God. Listen, always remember this. God is still on the throne. Amen. God is still, and He still loves you. And He's still working in your life. And if you'll get in His Word, you're anchored in His Word, and He'll help us to not be moved. I shall not be moved. Now, that wasn't a song that was meant to increase our rebellion. I won't be moved. I'm going to do my own thing. That song was to, I won't be moved from the Word of God. I'm going to be anchored in the things of God. Amen? Now, when I first came to Kansas in 91 and 92, when I pastored in Hazelden, 75 miles southwest of Wichita, right above the Oklahoma line, I got voted in 100%, and that Sunday when I preached, that Sunday night, a deacon's wife got saved, so they voted me in 100%. We had a good time. So Connie and I came in there. As we drove up the first time, we went down the highway there in northern Oklahoma, New Perry, Oklahoma, and as we're driving down the highway, we saw this tumbleweed come across the road. We thought, wow, this is like a John Wayne movie. We thought there was, if those were real or not, and sure, it was a tumbleweed. And we get into town, the first thing we see is an old house collapsed and some goats standing on top of it. I looked at her, she looked at me and said, where have we come to, amen? Hazelden, Kansas. We had the smallest bank in the state of Kansas there. It said bank. Step out of the church and it said, there's a cross street bank. Didn't even say Farmer State Bank, just bank. It's just a little old building. And so it was quite an experience for us. And so we went over there and we saw God do some great things. And one of the old deacons, Brother Bob Babcock, Kent Babcock, his wife was one that got saved. And I don't know if she's living, still alive. I talked to her a few years ago. He said, preacher, you ever been quail and pheasant hunting? I said, no, sir. I don't even have a good shotgun right now. I have one old single barrel shotgun. I said, but I need to get another shotgun and I want to do some deer hunting too. I said, I'd love to learn. He said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to quail hunt and pheasant hunt. And I had the time of my life because I stood in the middle, his brother-in-law, Sam Jones, on one side, and Brother Babcock over here and his dogs out front. Man, I had perfect training on how to quail and pheasant hunt. It was a blast for those two falls. One thing I learned, that when the dog's tail's moving, that's not the deal. He's getting birdie. But when he's moving around, when that tail stops, that meant something right there. Amen? I mean, that old dog he had a blaze. And one of his, as a matter of fact, that was his last year to hunt. The next year, I don't think he barely hunted. He was so getting so old. We went through a field, and we saw a few quail go across this little road, little dirt road in this field. And we get out, we get our guns loaded, and we get our hats on and everything. We came out behind the truck, and he put the tailgate down. Preacher, he opened the gate, and Blaze came out, and Blaze pointed on top of the tailgate. I said, that is a dog right there. That's a cool dog. He was pointing, and I remember him taking Blaze. He picked up Blaze and set him down. And, oh, wow, that was one of those beautiful things you ever seen, amen? And he was pointing all around. He was pointing in the truck, brother, before he got out. He was steady. And the Bible says that when we have faith in the Lord, He said that we have established it, you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. We need to be anchored in the Lord. And so to establish our faith is to be rooted in God, to express three areas of this firm planting in God and His Word by faith. He said your faith was mentioned here, of course, five times in the first 10 verses here. And through all their persecutions and afflictions, Paul wanted them to stay strong in the faith. I want you to notice some words here. Establish and comfort. You see that? And that phrase we saw, that moved by these afflictions. Now, notice establish. That means to bring a certain order and direction in our life. And to establish steadfast in strength, to stabilize us or to support an already existing structure. In this case, their faith rooted in God. Now, friend, let me tell you something real quick. Especially young people and young couples, listen closely, Brother Steve. You're not going to go anywhere for God till you get your faith rooted in the Word of God and a daily Bible reading. You need to have a time with the Lord. You need to establish your understanding of God's precious word. Amen. And when you do that, that's going to help your faith grow. You ought to be hungry for the word of God. That establishes. And then number two, to encourage. He said comfort. That word comfort means to encourage. It's where we get the word paraclete, or the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. He's the great comforter. And it's to call us. God says, I'm coming near. I want the Spirit of God to come near next to you and help you in that affliction. You know what it's like when we've gone through some afflictions, Connie and I. We've gone through some times of hard, difficult situations in ministry and serving God. And you know what? When we yield to the Lord, when our faith was established and we were rooted in the Word of God, you know what happened? The Spirit of God just showed up in our life and comforted us. When we couldn't find comfort from anyone else, we found that comfort in the Lord. And then notice to explain. Paul explains why in verse 3. He sent this letter to help them. They were not to be moved by these afflictions. Oh, I'm going through a trouble and trial. Why don't we say, hey, when we are really right with God and yielded to God, we're going to see that trial. And it's not that we're not going to hurt. It's not that we're going to say, wow, this is pretty hard. We're going to be able to say somewhere deep in our soul, God, you're going to work in my life today. You're going to give me strength in this, and I'm trusting you. That's when you know your faith is getting stronger. God has that purpose to help you. When I was going through that cancer and had 8 bouts of chemo, I had people praying for me. And as I got in the book got in me, and I got deeper in the Word of God, you know what happened? I had just trusted God. Listen, I was going to trust God here or in the air. In glory. Amen. And God loved me here as much as He does up there. Hallelujah. So I had it good. My God loved me on earth, and He loves me in heaven. So if I passed away and stepped into glory, I doubt if I want to come back. Amen. Until I come back with Him when He returns. Amen. Why? Because just like my mother, she went through all that affliction. She passed away, went to glory. I can't see my mother thinking, you know what? It was so wonderful down there in that wicked earth. I want to come back. I doubt that. She's going, Steve, it's not so good down there, but it's great up here. I'm waiting for you. Amen. Why? Because we can be joyful here or there because we love our God and He loves us. Amen. Number two, not only to put our faith where it needs to be and God doing a great work in us, God doing a work in His Word to help us to plant our faith. Second of all, is to protect our faith from the tempter. Look in verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means, notice that phrase, some means, the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Remember, these men of God labor to see these people get saved, they get baptized, discipled, and they're growing. It's hard on a preacher, it's hard on a minister when you look up and those people who are shouting it out for 3 months, for 3 years, for 10 decades, look up and they're gone because by some means, preacher, the tempter tempted them. How many of y'all believe Satan has a lot of some means out there? He's got a lot of tricks in his bag, doesn't he? And by the way, what will trick you might not stumble me as easy, but there's something else that'll stumble me easier than it'll stumble you. Are y'all with me? So all he knows what he can do against all of us. It might be somebody just because the preacher didn't shake their hand, they'll get out because they think in their mind the preacher doesn't love them. That's not even true. But how many of y'all know our minds can think weird stuff? The tempter throws out stuff, those darts, those flaming darts. When a flaming dart hits, it splatters. So when the shield of faith is up, when it not only splatters, when that flame splatters, it's like our mind, when we see something or hear something, if not careful, it can get out of kilter. And before you know it, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gather it back in. Don't get to thinking what might have happened or whatever. How many of y'all ever had that problem? Raise your hand. I do. I'm raising mine. I can find everything half empty. My wife, everything's half full. And sometimes she gets snared by the one thing that comes up behind her because she's not paying attention. She thinks it's okay. And she's not aware of certain. I think we have to have the balance of being aware that the tempter is trying everything he can to come after us. Amen? So that's why we have to be careful. That's why our faith has to be in the Word of God. Because now we have to protect our faith because we're leaning on the Lord. Say, God, I need your help. Hey, we already know the book of Ephesians tells us to get our armor on. Get our shield of faith up. Amen? Because Satan has wiles or tricks. that will come against us. And he told the church, be careful. But aren't you reminded that these demonic powers in the flesh and the world come against us, but God has a way to fight against us. Fight against it to help us. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13, listen to this. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Okay, let me stop right there. That's simply, get ready to set up the next verse. It's saying, you better be humble, not full of pride. Because see what God's getting ready to tell us. You and I cannot handle temptation alone. You say, oh, I'm tough. I'm a tough Christian. I went to Bible college. I read the Gospel of John last year. I'm strong because I know the story about Jonah and the whale. Okay, you can make up all kinds of stories, but you're nothing without God. Amen. That's an amen spot. Without God, I am. Without love, I am nothing. I need help. So it's like a guy, that old skinny guy coming out off the bench, and he's 130 pounds, with rocks in his pocket. And he says, I can tackle that guy 6'4", that's 250 pounds. Let me have him, coach. I'm thinking, go sit down. Amen? Now, you and I cannot handle the devil by ourselves. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? So in other words, don't have pride thinking just because you might know you're super spiritual. Never think you're super spiritual. Never think you've got it made. Always be trusting God. So he says, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also, notice, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. A way to escape. God says there's no temptation taking that you cannot bear with my help, but you try to do it by yourself, you're going to be in a world of hurt, a world of trouble. But he says he's going to make a way to escape. Now, when I played sports, I played basketball, I played ice hockey, played soccer, I played baseball, I love it, all these sports. But in high school, I played 4 years of flag football. And the 10th grade on, I was a quarterback for those 3 years. And so 95-98% of the plays in flag football are going to be passing plays. It's a seven-man flag, it's a fast-moving game, 80-yard field. Every 20 yards was your first down. And so that was, we played it all over Louisiana and Mississippi in our Christian school, and we are champions in the district, and we went all the way to the state championship one time, and I coached them to undefeated to the championship game, and we lost. We never did win it, but we got there twice. And we just loved it. It was a fast-moving game. And the coach always showed me, when we went over the plays, and we even helped the coach write plays. We had bunches of plays. And we had plays that would go in the flat, go in the flag plays, go down the post play. We had patterns, crosses, and we had button hook and go. So all these plays I had, there's different variations off all these plays. So I'm looking for my first and second receiver. But the coach said, if you can't run it through, come around the wing, bootleg out, or throw the ball to your man, throw the ball away. Throw it over his head, throw it out of bounds. In other words, he was saying, Steve, you always have a way of escape. Are y'all with me? Can you get the picture? So I'm back there. And of course, like I said, most of the plays was when I was quarterback and I was what we call the shotgun. I never did get under center, but just a couple of times, maybe for a quick pass or a little quick flip or a reverse. It was always back here. Why? So when I got the ball, I had a couple seconds of time to get rid of the ball. But me thinking, how many of y'all believe a quarterback can get stubborn and think he can put that ball in places he really can't throw? Like you do when you're armchair quarterback and you're thinking, why did that quarterback, he makes millions of dollars, and why did he throw that pass? Because in your mind, you're thinking, I can get it there. And I'm thinking in my pride, I can squeeze it in there and that cornerback, I'm going to beat him. And sure enough, there was the interception. There's a pick six, and there he goes. And I look at the coach, and guess what? It's not the coach's fault. It's not the cheerleader's fault. It's not my receiver's fault. Guess whose fault it is? The prideful guy that had the ball thinking he can do something he couldn't do. Thinking he can stand lest he fall, right? That's you and I. When we think we can go through a temptation and we're going to be unscathed and we're going to beat it and we're sure we're strong enough, before you know it, it comes up and bites us. And then we go, "What happened, God?" Well, we didn't take the escape route and admit we could not go forward. Did you know that sometimes it's best to throw the ball away and just go to the second down? Yeah, but I didn't gain anywhere. I did. At least I didn't lose. Are y'all with me? So if I don't get rid of that ball, it's just the same way here. Make a way. God says, "I've made a way for you to get it right." You might just have to stop and pray or say no or sit down and just worship the Lord or sing unto the Lord or go to the other block, whatever you have to do. God says, "I've made a way for you and I to get out of that temptation and you can win." So we need to understand it. Look for the way that God has for the escape. Number three, proclaim our faith to the world. Look at verse 6. "But when Timotheus came from unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." Isn't that great? I'm not going to spend much time here, but proclaim our faith. That's the same phrase he's using there as if he's proclaiming the gospel. And Paul was saying, you know what? I hear about your testimony and your love for God, that through your life, you're proclaiming your faith to me, but I know also you're proclaiming it to the world. And that's a good testimony, isn't it? And that's a good testimony that we ought to have in charity and love and the power of faith and resilience to serve the Lord. Number four, prolong our faith in steadfastness. Look at verse 7 and 8. "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distressed by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." Paul's saying, "I'm really living now because I'm walking in faith and I'm seeing your faith. And not only are you prolonging your steadfast faith and steadfastness, but you're helping me." Did you know your steadfast faith not only can help new converts? Watch. It can help seasoned saints that are going through stuff. Now, how many of you believe as a young convert, when you look around and you see people serving God, it encourages your faith? Amen? Or let's reverse it. How about some of the senior saints, when they look back and see the young people serving God, does that not strengthen our faith? It works both ways. We're talking about the great man of God, Paul, going, "Y'all are helping me." Yes. How are we helping you, Brother Paul? You're a great man of God. Your faith is helping me with my faith. You're encouraging me because you're staying faithful, and I hear that testimony, and it just gives me extra energy to serve the Lord. And I'm thinking, I could go through this if that church, those young converts are going through it. Look what God can put me through. Wow, that's a good man of God that's learning. You know what you're doing also and I'm doing? We're helping them in their faith. Co-laborers with Christ. Standing fast together. You know what that is referring to? It refers to that stand fast. Stand fast means standing for right in a hostile environment. Living for the Lord. Living that resurrection life. Number five, look at the last one, verses 9 through 12. Perfect our faith in love and holiness. Now God says, "I want your faith to be perfected. I want it to be mature." And that faith, you find it as you read in verse 9 and following, "For what thanks can we render to God again to you for all the joy with we joy for your sakes before our God, and night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." So one of these days, hopefully I can see you, I'll be able to help you with the things you're lacking. But right now, you're doing good. Paul says, "You're doing great. Keep going for God." It's exciting to hear what God's doing. But you remember, we haven't passed on yet. The Lord's coming soon. But in the meantime, we need to have faith all the way to the end. Amen? And mature faith. Perfected faith. Faith that is strong in the Lord. What does it look like? Well, he says there that God is directing him. And then he says in verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love." Did you know love and faith and hope, faith, hope, and charity, never, they're all together, aren't they? They connect like a link. Now, they're all important. Charity is the most important. And then there's love and their faith. I mean, hope and faith, but they all, you can't hardly have one without the other. And now that you're loving God like you are, that's awesome. Toward all men, even as we do. Listen, I want to say y'all have been a help to me and Connie. With the love offerings y'all have sent us and your prayers. I say, Who wants to help us? And look up, and there's a check in the mail from North Woodlawn Baptist Church. I'm thinking, yes, those people have been so... And to brag on Jesus in you, to brag on what God's doing in your life, Connie and I love this church and thank God for you, because y'all have helped us through some difficult situations. Why? Simply this, y'all love God, and that shows that you're loving others. And you can do it to everybody, and I know other churches have special people that they deal with, and that's great, because all of us evangelists and missionaries, we need some churches, like our home church, and a few others that kind of put us under their wing and say, Brother Steve, Miss Connie, we're praying for you. And some are praying, some are loving through giving, some are just encouraging through words. Hey, you know what that does? That helps us. That grows Connie and I up in our faith and helps us to know that God is working in your life. Verse 13, what's the purpose? What's the end? That you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. See how it establishes us as the Lord's getting ready to come back? This is a desire, this perfection of faith is a desire to thoroughly complete that which is lacking in our faith. For God to increase and abound their love toward one another. Watch this. And for God to increase and abound their love for the lost, spreading and overflowing to the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. God loves us, and we want to tell the world that God loves them. Amen. How do we do that? Well, we have to let our faith grow. And listen, the stronger I get in faith, the more I believe God can do, the more I can believe God can save people. We had a lady give a testimony the other night in our church, and I was watching online, and she had one of our main church members, their daughter, had two suicide attempts. And she got it right, got saved, and God really worked in her heart. And she said, she made a statement, if I can paraphrase it. She says, always remember this, that there's no sin that intimidates God. I thought, that is a great statement. There's no sin that intimidates God. Have you ever been on a sporting event or maybe seen something in the store and went to Walmart, looked at something and thought, that intimidates me, that thing's ugly. That thing, man, it hurt me. It might have been some big guy that's standing there thinking, man, he could squash me. Have you ever looked around and seen a person that you thought, man, they can hurt somebody, and you feel intimidated? I remember playing sports, a number of times I looked up and said, man, that guy, Lord, help me. He's bigger than me. He can squash me. God, watch this, God never gets intimidated by your sin and my sin. He wants us to get it right, and he can help us with it. And listen, God is going to help you and I to walk by faith. So what about a church? Does your faith need to increase? Amen. Does your faith need to be strengthened in the Word? Amen. Does your faith need to be perfected and grown and mature? Amen. All of us do, right? So let's let God work in our heart and increase your faith and my faith as we serve the Lord. Let's stand. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word as we have this time of invitation that will settle some things in our heart there at the altar or at the pew, and that you'll help us to walk by faith and serve you faithfully, because we can be called faithful when we're walking by faith. And help us be able to have the phrase attached to our life that is a faithful Christian, a Christian that is walking in faith, serving you. And Lord, letting us, by your help, grow in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To do a great work, we ask in our hearts, in your name. Amen. How many?